Man, my nipples are just, you know, one problem that I've got.
Tell me.
Even if it's hot out, this.
Oh, you got hard nips?
Yeah. It's I don't know what the issue is. I don't know if it's the cotton rubbing against them. They're just so eager to get out and make an appearance.
Mine are hard.
Yeah. Plus it's cold in the studio.
Cold in the stewed. Cold in the stewed and the nips hard.
Yeah, man.
Speaking of studs.
Yeah, this is your desk sticky at all? My desk and
not
my
only
chair.
Is it sticky, it stinks like shit.
Yeah. And there were
fingernail
clippings on my seat.
I don't know if they were clippings or if people are biting.
And I didn't realize it until I saw the new
TMG has a new show.
Right.
Foul Tip.
Which is great. But there's one little issue. They're using our desks and our chairs.
And it's disgusting.
It's disgusting. Zach and Waleed, I think I've got Zach's.
I've got Waleed's.
Yeah. These little grimy gremlins are they're animals. They don't know how to fucking, I don't know what their deal is, what they're doing. I don't know if they were eating something or what, but God almighty.
Should we give them a call?
Yeah, I'm kind of pissed off. Why not? They're part of the family now. It's not too early for them, right?
If it is, we got to wake their ass up.
Yeah, we got to teach them a thing or two about in-studio etiquette. You know, we're sharing a space. You can't just do that kind of thing. Give it a once over so that it's not sticky. And also, what was he drinking Coke and spitting it everywhere? What are you facing?
Oh, I've got Zach here. Let's see if Waleed picks up.
Well, you can't hear him. You got to put the audio.
Oh, sorry. Maybe we should just do this audio. Where's Waleed? Where's your co-host?
I don't live with him.
Oh, here he is. Oh my God, coming in.
What the fuck is going on over there?
What are you just calling to wish us a good morning?
No, I'm calling to see what's going on with these desks and chairs. We got fingernail clippings.
Yeah, what the fuck over there? You guys, yeah, I got fingernail clippings on my thing. It smells like shit and it's sticky.
It's sticky.
What are you, in third grade?
Wait, is Ben's on my desk?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, I was super nervous and ass sweat is like sitting in the chair. So, I'm a sweaty guy, so Ben.
And Emil, if you're on my desk, I engraved you a little message if you look under the...
with your nail clippings?
Please. No, yeah. Zach, the nail... Unless Waleed's nail clippings jumped all the way over onto my shit.
We were playing... you guys ever play that game in middle school or whatever where you flick the piece of paper in between the thumbs like a field goal?
Yeah.
That's what we were doing with our nails.
Oh, that's cool.
It's a segment on our podcast.
Yeah, we're huge sports guys. Have you guys listened to our episode yet?
Yeah.
It's sports.
Yeah, no, I got that.
Everything's sticky.
Yeah.
Did you guys spit on everything?
There is also the segment where the cum joke, Waleed, with the cum in there.
Oh, yeah, where we stand on the desk and we cum everywhere. Yeah.
You guys used real cum?
Jesus.
We're method actors.
All right. Well, at least we got to the bottom of it. Thanks, boys, but let this be a warning to you. Clean up.
Are you guys staying for the rest of this of the time at the desk? Or are you guys moving?
We're going to leave right now. We just started recording. We're actually going to take off. So,
last part, are you guys still coming over tonight?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, we're
But I'm going to get revenge on your couch if you've got one. Sticky
Emil,
it up.
What does that message say that I wrote for you on the desk? What does it say? Read it out loud. Look under.
Jesus Christ. For the audio listener, Emil is looking under his desk for whatever message isn't there.
I don't see it.
Oh, well, maybe it got cleaned up. Anyways, it said...
Oh, that's great. Great timing. His audio is cutting out.
And there's a little exclamation point on his... lost him. We literally... All right,
we'll never know. All right, hang up.
Bye.
God damn.
Shares are just getting hammered this morning.
Every day they're pounding it.
Bitcoin.
I'm not fucking leaving.
Surprise. this is unsustainable. This is untenable. We got to do something about this. We can't share a space like this.
No. I need it's disgusting in here. I need my own space.
What do you think is the solution?
Just give me
We need a final solution.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
Yeah, sure.
Give me a couple weeks to look into this.
Okay.
I'm going to be down in by the piers, if you know what I'm saying. I'm going to be looking for something.
We talking Columboat?
Maybe.
Stay tuned, yeah, folks. Yeah. Maybe we'll
see what I can dig up.
Escape the surly bonds of this set.
Yeah.
Instead of sharing it with those two hucksters.
I can't be coming back knowing there's messages left for me.
Yeah.
Like coming, I'm in fourth period math. Waleed was in here before.
Oh, I hated that in high school and shit when the desk would be all warm from the previous dipshit. God.
That's such a Ben complaint.
Oh, yeah. That was when my OCD was peak because I started becoming hyper aware of like, oh, there's other kids.
What did you do when you lived in New York? Were you able to like sit on the subway?
Oh, yeah, it was fine. Yeah, I would sit on the subway, no problem.
What about when the seat was warm?
Yeah, no problem. I wouldn't sit on any of the corner seats because I know that that's where you don't sit.
I remember, you know how the seats would, the individual ones, the old ones, where it was like, it's like orange and brown in there?
Yeah.
And they had those dips in the seats?
Sure.
Well, I got on one morning and there was
liquid
in the seat. And so we were all like, ugh. And no one would sit on it, even though it was a crowded train. And then some guy in a suit gets on, just plops down on it, and we're like, oh. And he's immediately like, what was it? What was it? We're like, we don't know, man. We don't know. And they just got off at the next stop.
Why didn't anybody warn the guy?
He just got on so quickly and was like, ooh, a seat.
Yeah. Mm. Well, folks, so I got some bad news. You know, normally right about is the time that we do the disclaimer.
And after hours, people knew about this last week.
Yeah.
That's what you get when you, that's the kind of exclusive you're getting.
Right. But so we do have to say, check the disclaimer in the description box. Read that shit. You got to click see more. But this is Glenn's last week.
See more butts.
You
said it.
Yeah. Oh, I did. It's Glenn's last week. So we wanted to give him a chance to say goodbye to us and goodbye to all of you. And so here he is. We're connecting live with the man himself.
Wow.
Glenn. How you doing, Glenn?
I'm well. How are you?
Glenn, is that a Zoom background?
No, actually, I am in the office today.
Wow.
Look at that view. Where is the office?
We're on downtown Manhattan.
What floor are we on right now?
The 23rd.
Oh,
23rd
yeah,
floor. Baby. Wow, Michael Jordan's floor, huh?
Yes.
Oh, baby. What's that pin on you? Is that a pin or a logo on the shirt?
It's a logo. This is actually one of my dad's old shirts. I just brought it out today for the occasion.
Ooh, wow. He'd be proud. What is that logo?
Is it a sailboat?
Yeah.
I think this is a shirt from Nordstrom's.
Yeah, but what's the logo? A sailboat?
Yeah, it's a sailboat.
Oh, all right.
For the occasion.
It actually has a little N on it for Nordstrom's.
Oh,
Nordstrom
has,
brand.
Yeah, wow. I didn't even know that they had that. Man, that shirt must be ancient.
Guy, all right, so
I said that shirt must be ancient. I didn't even think that Nordstrom had.
Well, again, it was my dad, so he's been gone 12 years. So
holy moly.
While.
Yeah. So why don't you break the news to everybody? What's going on?
Well,
I already did break it, but yeah, further.
I'm very sad to say that I am. I'll be leaving T3 tomorrow. Will be my last day.
Oh, boy.
Wow. Had another opportunity present itself that was too good to turn down.
Yeah. I should have had a joke lined up that he's going to be, you know, the official taste tester of Breyers ice cream.
There you go. There's a joke.
Yeah, there you go. So Glenn's leaving to be the official taste tester for Breyers ice
cream.
That
is too good to turn down.
Every flavor.
Yeah, baby.
So you're abandoning us and leaving us with
Well, I don't look at it like that because other than being your compliance officer for the last 51 episodes, I consider you guys my friends.
Yes.
I will never abandon you. And you guys know that if you ever need a compliance opinion or a guest on the show or friend to talk to when your trading's not going so well. Or
we love it.
Neil, if you ever need to reach out to me for anything, you guys know I'll always be there.
Yes.
Thank you, Glenn.
And I'll always be there for anybody in the audience who needs me as well.
Wow.
There he is, everybody.
Wait. And Bingo as well. Hello,
Bingo. And Bingo, yes.
Oh, we love Bingo. So who's the new guy? Because I'm going to be giving a shout out to a new man.
Yeah, the new guy, his name is Stephen Pikowski.
Stephen Pikowski, that is one hell of a name.
That is one compliance name if I ever heard one.
Yeah, but you know, he seems like a sharp guy. I've been training. That's why I'm in the office today. I've been training him for the past few days. I think he'll be almost as good as me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, you set the bar very high, my friend.
Big shoes to fill.
Thank you. Thank you.
Does he know
much.
About us?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I introduced him to Ben yesterday.
Oh, nice.
We spoke on the phone briefly.
You said his name was Thomas last week.
Because Thomas was going
to
be.
Originally, what was supposed to happen is one of my colleagues here named Thomas was going to do it, but my job was filled before I left, so I gave it to the new guy.
So Glenn, you'll be happy to know, people love you so much. When Glenn said it on last week's episode, there was a bunch of commenters who were like, they were already like, we hate Thomas, we want Glenn, and so guys, we're going to give Stephen a chance, all right? We got to give Stephen the opportunity to be our new compliance guy.
But that's not to say that there won't be any hazing.
Well, we're going to haze Stephen.
We're going to give him swirlies and wedgies and stuff from across the fucking country. Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, Glenn, we love you. We appreciate you for being a friend of the show for
Thank
so
you.
Long. And,
it's been a pleasure, an absolute pleasure to be part of the show. I think you guys are terrific. I think you're destined for big things.
Oh, we hope
Thank
so.
Thank you so much. Yeah. We only got one advertiser this week, but.
Just because I am not going to be approving the show anymore, I'm going to sign up for TMG and I'm going to still be watching.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Brings a tear to my eye. Hell
I'm
yeah.
I'm going to stay with the Glenheads and keep everybody keep everybody watching.
Good, good, good. Well, Glenn, we wish you the best of luck, and we know that you're going to be tremendous at your new job, wherever that may be. And
Ben, just while I'm gone, behave yourself.
I'll do my best, sir.
Tell everyone at the Breyers Factory we said hello.
Yeah.
Well, I'll send you some samples.
Oh, fuck yeah. Cookies and cream for me, please.
The stuff that I think is really good, I'll send to you guys.
Thank you.
Great.
Well, Glenn, have a good weekend.
Thanks for having me, guys. I love you.
Thanks. Love you
love
too,
you,
Glenn. There he goes, everybody. There he goes. Glenn, we're going to miss him.
Hardest working man in compliance.
Hardest working man in compliance.
Recording stop.
Recording stop.
Recording stop. There we are.
Hey guys, we want to take a quick break to thank another sponsor of today's episode, ClickUp. Imagine having one extra day every week. More time to cook healthy meals, work on that novel you're writing, or just binge some good reality TV. You know what I would do with an extra day of meal? Nothing.
I love that.
I would sleep.
A little bend time.
Now it's all possible with ClickUp. The productivity platform that'll save you one day a week on work, guaranteed.
ClickUp began with the premise that productivity was broken. There were too many tools to keep track of, too many things in entirely separate ecosystems. There had to be a more productive way to get through the daily hustle. ClickUp is the one tool to house all your tasks, projects, docs, goals, spreadsheets, and more. ClickUp is built for teams from 1 to over 1,000.
It's packed with features and customization options that no other productivity tool has, so you can work the way you work best. Whether you're in project management, engineering, sales, marketing, or HR, ClickUp has easy-to-use solutions that create a more efficient work environment. So join the more than 800,000 highly productive teams using ClickUp today.
Use code TRILL to get 15% off ClickUp's massive unlimited plan for a year, meaning you can start reclaiming your time for under $5 a month. Sign up today at clickup.com and use code TRILL. Hurry, this offer ends soon.
Well, we got a big episode for you this week. There's a whole bunch of shit going on. The rail workers are striking, maybe like 100,000 of them, because they don't, the train horns are
we
too
don't
loud.
Know. That's the problem. Everyone's like, you got to turn these goddamn things down.
You got to turn them down.
And Warren Buffett's like, I'll never turn that fucking horn down.
I'll never turn it down.
No, we actually, I mean, the bummer is that, so, you know, go ahead, do it tomorrow for us.
No, tomorrow for us, yesterday for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's today, not that hard, dude.
But today.
Today for us.
I imagine everything will be different tomorrow.
Yes.
When this actually comes out.
Today for you. The listener.
Right.
And the viewer. Today for you guys.
Today
maybe everything
for you
will, change.
Will be very different than yesterday for us. No, yes. Today for us.
Yes.
Because the White House is the Biden administration has already said that they've reached a tentative deal with the unions, and but now rank and file has to vote on it, and so they're already kind of celebrating. But
wait, the Biden administration said that they reached a deal, not the railroads themselves.
Yeah, it's a tentative deal. They're
oh yeah, okay.
So,
Biden's already
for a little background info,
there
have been problems for months now, right? And so basically the Biden administration put together this thing, the Presidential Emergency Board, and they've been working with the unions and the railroads to reach a deal.
Yeah.
The PEB basically said, this is what we think you guys should do. The unions did not like it. They said, you know, these terms don't do anything to address the things we're talking about. Because when you read and watch a lot of, you know, these union guys, what they're talking about is, you know, yes, they'd like a little bit more money. Railroads are, they're making record profits throughout all this, and they're not seeing any of that. But a huge problem is the working conditions, quality of life stuff.
They're on call
issues.
24/7.
Right.
No weekends off.
Can't get it. Yeah, don't get weekends. They can't get a day off to go to the doctor. If they do, they get punished. There's this new attendance policy where if they do those things, they get docked. And none of those things were addressed in the PEB recommendation. And the bummer is, it, you know, we were looking at it this morning when we were driving in. They're calling, you know, they're congratulating themselves on this tentative deal, but it's impossible to.
Yeah, all the union people are saying it's dog shit.
Well, I guess the union heads agreed to it, but now it has to be voted on. But if you.
By everyone in the union?
Yeah, all the rank and file members have to
how
vote.
How does it pass? Is it a simple majority? Is it a 2/3?
I don't know. And there it's. But so the strike won't go until all the votes are tallied. So they have averted a strike for a little bit. But I mean, and that's the thing. The. There's this guy, I think his name's Michael Lindsay. He's a union guy who's been talking to a lot of the media.
Yeah, he's a leader.
He was saying even if they avert the strike and get a deal, it might have the same effect as a strike anyway, because people will just leave the job. Because if these things aren't addressed, you know, it's already happening a lot. There's a lot of people leaving the jobs.
Yeah.
And the railroads have been cutting jobs. I think since 2015, about 30% of the workforce has been cut.
Wow.
And people can't live like this.
Yeah.
It's impossible. There's tons of complaints about the way it's going on, you know, and the rails have changed a lot, right? They used to have much shorter trains, and you would be working with crews of 4 to 5 people.
The raises workers will receive as part of this deal will be the biggest ones they have received in more than 4 decades. The railroad industry has said that average rail worker salaries were
Yeah, but I don't know if that's because I think, yeah, that pay raise was going to be part of it already. They were getting like a 24% raise, but
that's not all they want. They don't just how much time off will workers get? The deal includes one additional paid leave day a year. Right. Thank you, sir. May I have another? But railroads also agreed to let workers take unpaid time off for doctor's appointments and medical procedures without being penalized under their attendance rules. The unpaid time off is a key concession that addressed some of the union's concerns about working conditions. Under the current system at BNSF and Union Pacific, workers receive a set number of points, and they lose points any time they take time off. If workers use up all their points, they can be disciplined or even fired. What the fuck?
And look, keep reading. So this was a big. So this is a big thing. They keep, and this was one of the most frustrating things about reading the coverage of it. So in the New York Times and the Washington Post, you really couldn't find out what the unions were asking for, right? Mm-hmm. And they kept pointing to the fact that they had been offered more money, which they have. But when you look at, so I think when you factor in inflation to that 24% pay raise, mm-hmm. with inflation so high, I think it ends up being a pay cut at the end of the Christ. 5 years. And then they're also going to be on the hook for more money out of their own check for their health insurance. Workers will have to pay a larger share of their health insurance costs, capped at 15% of total cost of the insurance plan. So
yeah.
if health insurance, and it's a percentage, so if health insurance costs go way up, they're paying way more money. Already one union rejected a deal Wednesday. Oh, yeah, yeah. We knew about that.
Stop saying
Shut the fuck up.
You're saying too many times.
I'm trying to figure out what the fuck's going on. Yeah,
but... Squirrel, wait. When did this come out, by the way?
This was 15 minutes ago.
15 minutes? What's the
But there's still no new... There's. I don't think there's any new news about whether or not...
46.
The strike is going to go.
Josh Funk is the,
Josh Funk. Author of the... Now, you guys might be thinking to yourself, what do I fucking care if these railroaders strike, right?
Because you're not going to get your hamburgers on time.
You might not.
Everybody knows that burgers come on trains.
Burgers do?
Yeah, everything comes on trains. I think 40%... I read... Is it 40% of...
30%,
30%
think.
Comes... And then the rest is on trucks?
Yeah.
And then the rest is Grubhub.
Yeah.
Grubhub and Uber Eats is where...
Well, are you talking about
from.
Hamburgers only?
Yeah, hamburgers.
Oh, okay. I don't think it's 30% of hamburgers.
Well, we're in a hamburger economy.
Of, shipments.
We are in a hamburger-based economy.
Sorry I said, Sometimes I take a second to think. I also think it's your own auditory...
Well, you sent me that thing about autism and how you can have, it's called misophonia, which I have.
Yeah, and
but that's more of a sensitivity to, like, eating sounds and certain repetitive sounds.
Right.
Well, repetitive sounds can be
Right, so maybe just, you know, relax.
It's hard for me.
I know, but...
It's like, you know, you put an autistic guy in the middle of a train yard... Try to get him to focus.
But it's hard for me when I have to talk on here and you're like, I can hear you breathing. And you're like,
I'm not
okay,
saying I can hear you breathing.
You've never complained about me taking breaths in?
There's a difference between never complaining about someone breathing and just have taking you, chronic right in the middle
chronic?
Of chronic? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Get
it's
real.
Not chronic. You're right. It's not chronic, but it's, you know.
Breathing in.
Whatever is one step below chronic. See, I try to just... clear my throat.
The guy who burps into the mic consistently doesn't let me breathe.
You're right, but I'm trying. I gotta try. That's all I can do is try to not burp, and I haven't been.
Why don't you try to let me be myself? And
I'm just trying to help improve the experience overall. Even though literally no one has ever said anything.
No one has ever said anything. But it's just like a common way people talk.
But it drives me insane when people do that. Well, maybe, and then it makes it hard for me to focus.
Well, I'm sorry, pal. Fuck. So you might be asking yourself, what happens if the... So, oh, wait, I should send this in. This was a really great example of how far-reaching this impact could be. So someone... I won't even send it in because it's going to take too long. I'll just read
Twitter?
It. Yeah, there was basically this tweet. Friend who works for the railroad, when I asked if they'll be okay if the strike goes, and the friend responded, my savings will last longer than the rest of the economy if we strike. Meaning, things are going to shut down so quickly.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You should be more worried about the economy and yourself, because there could be mass shortages. So the deadlock puts President Biden in a complicated position. His administration has taken pains to restore and fortify the supply chain, which was deeply disrupted by the coronavirus pandemic, which we've talked about on end. You know, things are, you know, starting to normalize a bit. We were just talking about how there were that backup of ships at the port has
finally been cleared
out, right? So a disruption could be far-reaching, affecting a wide range of goods. Trade groups representing the agricultural industry and manufacturers of consumer products said disruptions would hurt their members and have called on Congress to intervene if necessary. A disruption of service would cost more than $2 billion per day in economic output, idle thousands of trains, and result in widespread product shortages and job losses. Rail accounts for about 28% of U.S. freight movement, second only to trucking's nearly 40%. So,
I wonder if this will lead to... Mm-hmm.
If they wanted to try to recover and use trucks, you know how many trucks they would need to cover the...
Let me guess. Does it say?
Yeah.
I'm going to guess 560,000 trucks.
Honestly, really close. More than 460,000 additional trucks would be needed each day
so
to carry.
Damn, so close.
But the problem is there are some things that are just too heavy to carry by truck.
Right. Like
there you go. Do it. Go ahead.
Like your mom.
Nice. There it is.
Like the McDonald's quarter pounder. Too heavy.
Too heavy.
Yeah.
It's a quarter pound.
Yeah. Well, after they cook it, it's probably significantly less than a quarter pound. They make that sound so fucking big. A quarter pound is not that much. Give me a pound. Give me a half pound. Don't give me any. I mean, Don't give me.
Wasn't there a story of, because people are so stupid that they thought like someone was doing a half pound, but they saw one, you know, one over two,
and they thought,
and they were like, well, that's smaller. I'll get the quarter pounder. Maybe I'm making that up.
Man, no, that sounds perfectly correct.
But yeah, I'm it sucks because tomorrow this could all be, it could all be nothing.
No, but it would still have a lasting impact on railroad.
I mean, we're already seeing it. Amtrak canceled all of their long distance trips.
Right.
People stopped certain shipments of certain products already. And so, yeah, even if it's a very short strike, I mean, they were saying at a week you see real damage in the U.S. economy.
$2 billion a day.
A strike will mean reduced gas production, spoiled crops, choked off supply of new cars, and empty shelves at stores over the holidays. Your commute may be snarled. Factory workers, there could be temporary layoffs in the near future.
Didn't Warren Buffett comment on this? Did he already?
He owns one of the railways.
BNSF?
Yeah.
Or Union Pacific?
I think BNSF.
BNSF? Yeah, so hey, Warren Buffett, you're about to die anyway. You're knocking on death's door. Just give him a little bit.
But this is the thing. You are watching the railroads look to the Biden administration and be like, "Crush this!" Like
they're literally railroading them.
They're saying, "We would rather tank the U.S. economy than give these motherfuckers weekends."
Yeah.
Then let these guys go to doctor's appointments unpunished.
Yeah, it's really crazy to think about how, corporate greed.
And the Biden administration may do it. They may try to force this.
Because they can't afford another big L.
They may try to force this contract down their throat.
They'll probably, it wouldn't surprise me if they would do some kind of backdoor deal with the railroads. Like, hey, give them the things and then we'll give you some kind of tax break or some shit. That'll probably be what ends up happening. Does that sentence make sense? That'll probably be what ends up happening. Yeah, it came out natural.
Nice.
Thanks, dude.
But I mean, it could be a loss either way. I mean, I don't, you know, Biden has been trying to be this like pro worker guy, right?
Yeah.
When the Staten Island Amazon warehouse unionized, he was like, "Amazon, we're coming for you," which was very weird. Remember, he whispered it.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And but he doesn't do much. You know, maybe he'll let his big dick hang here for a second. I doubt it.
Joe Biden's got a big dick?
Yeah, I've seen it.
I bet he's got a big dick.
You think so?
Yeah, I bet his dick head looks exactly like his face. Just a smaller little his head.
Hey, Jill, is it time?
Time for what?
Time to have sex, Jill.
So,
but I mean, this is all in the backdrop of inflation going up,
correct,
in August 0.1%, and this is not going to help prices come down.
No sir, it is not. So when we recorded last Wednesday, I mentioned, so yeah, that was last Wednesday we recorded, because we did the TMG live thing on Thursday, and as of that Wednesday, you remember I mentioned that trend line that we were bouncing off of, just about to start bouncing off of. There's a key thing here. So I know we're kind of switching gears here to being a more trading-oriented topic here.
Well, let's
here,
talk about what happened real
well,
quick.
Well, it does. It does. So real fast, that was a good risk-reward for profiting in the short term off of calls. So like the fact that it didn't break that trend line, hey, boom, that's a good risk-reward for me to go on the long side. But then after that, we had the Tuesday Consumer Price Index, the CPI, came in. And it wasn't good. And the smart move was to use that rally to kind of reduce exposure.
Would you say that something was finally not priced in?
Yeah, because everybody was anticipating
it was supposed
it was
to go
drop.
Down by 0.1%.
Yeah, it was supposed to drop and
it went up by 0.1%.
Yeah. So, but if you look at it this way, so we had four straight green days. We just rallied off of that trend line. So with that Tuesday data you knew was coming out, that was kind of a bad risk reward for further upside. And so we like reflexively dropped back. On Tuesday, we had one of the worst days ever. And so we're now, I think as of right now recording this, we are breaking that trend line. And so that was kind of a fake out and follow through, because the fake out was, oh, it looked like we were going to break that trend line. We bounced And then the follow through now is back down to the downside. We the momentum totally reversed. And yeah, Tuesday had the S&P with its fifth largest day, one day point drop in its history of 177 points. And so a ton of shit was down. Every single tech stock was down. Every member of the NASDAQ 100 was down on Tuesday.
Yeah, which is the first time that happened in a long time, right?
Yeah.
Was it 2008 or was it March 2020?
Might have been both of those. I don't know. But Apple...
Well, it couldn't be both. It was the first time it happened since something.
Oh. I didn't see that stat. It might have been March 2020. That would make sense. But Apple lost $155 billion in market cap on Tuesday. So
you think they'll recover?
Yeah. The amount that they lost in market cap was... The amount that they lost was bigger than the entire total market cap of the bottom 450 companies in the S&P 500. Which is... that hurts my head to think about, because I remember when Apple was a $155 billion company just outright, and for them to lose that much just in a single day and still be standing because they're what?
Wait, they lost $155 billion in a day, which is more than the valuation of how many companies?
The bottom 450 companies in the S&P 500. The total value of those companies combined.
I feel like that kind of checks out. It is a staggering number.
It's almost incomprehensible to wrap your head around just how big that
I think,
that
yeah,
company
Apple
is
fucking gigantic.
Yeah. And it pisses me off to think about.
And who owns a large chunk of it?
Who? Warren Buffett?
Yeah.
Does he?
Mr.
Still?
Railroad. Doesn't he?
I want to say he reduced his exposure to it. But yeah, the CPI increase was due to food, shelter, and medical care services, which offset the decline in gas, which I guess is what everybody was thinking was going to lead to the drop in it. But so the CPI, the reason why everybody reacted that way is because it means we're not out of the woods yet, and it means that the Fed is going to have to continue being super aggressive in their...
Yeah, they were saying 75 basis points, but now people are fucking screaming. They were like, give us 100.
Yeah, give us 1%.
Give us 100.
Yeah, and it's so hard to trust the Fed now because, I mean, when you look at their reaction to COVID, it was there's not going to be inflation. Then it was like there's going to be a little bit of inflation. Then, you know, there is inflation, but it's transitory. And then it got out of control. So they've kind of cried wolf so much that they're... messaging just kind of, you can't trust them. And now now with their soft landing thing, they've gone from, oh, we're looking for a soft landing to soft-ish landing. And now they're saying, oh, there's going to be pain for consumers and businesses. So it's kind of shitty.
And
but the message,
like, there'll be a landing.
Yeah. We just can't say if it's going to be upside down or on the side. So the message is now clear that they're going to be tight on policy even when inflation starts to slow.
Right.
So it just like they were late to the game to tighten policy, they might also be on the other side of that. They might be late to loosen up once inflation starts to slow. So,
which could be really bad. I don't know if did you see the thing where, so the Fed's own economists are warning that they could cause a severe recession if they keep going like this. And they, it's actually really interesting because how many times have you heard about Paul Volcker throughout all this?
Oh,
and
so
the 1980s,
everybody's
right?
Obsessed with that tall motherfucker.
Tall Paul, baby.
Tall Paul, 6'7"
but
or whatever the fuck.
What this studied by the Fed's own economist is talking about is the depression of 1920. And they
1920?
Point, yeah.
Not 29?
No.
There was one in 20?
So they point to a lot of similarities, right? They're coming out of a war, influenza, the Spanish flu, all these things, right? Mm-hmm. And they think it's going to be very similar to that. Let me see if I can find some of what they're talking about. This is from The Intercept. Ken Klimpitstein found it, but no one's talking about this. The study published July 27th by the Federal Reserve Board of Governors looks at the Depression of 1920, the circumstances of which are eerily similar to today. The Federal Reserve Board, the main governing body of the Fed, has over 400 economists who conduct research for consideration by other economists. So the U.S. had just come out of a pandemic, the Spanish flu, that killed 657,000 Americans. Since many of those who died were workers, this meant that there were more job openings than workers to fill them.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, granting the surviving workers granting the surviving workers more bargaining power. A tight labor market naturally led to high employment and raising real wages. Like today, consumer spending was also recovering, then because of World War I had ended, now because the disruptive effects of the coronavirus pandemic are wearing off. Despite the strong job market, inflation was also relatively high, and for similar reasons. At the end of World War I, the United States was experiencing strong growth and unruly inflation, driven in part by an expansionary fiscal policy and an accommodative monetary policy.
Sounds familiar.
Right? When the Fed's aggressive policy in 1920 did succeed in tamping down inflation, the study found that it also had a devastating effect on workers. In 1920, the Federal Reserve banks hiked their discount rates to tame inflation, and the U.S. economy entered a severe recession, now known as the Depression of 1920. And this is not to say, they're not totally against hiking rates. Right. I think they're against how rapidly they're hiking
rates. I want to see this right here. Asked how the Fed squares its rate hikes with the contrary findings of its own study, the spokesperson for the Fed Board of Governors pointed to a disclaimer on the study that states, quote, "The analysis and conclusions set forth are those of the authors and do not indicate concurrence by other members of the research staff or the Board of Governors." So basically, this is just this one guy kind of going rogue, which kind of sucks. He's saying that, yeah, I am part of the Fed. I'm one of the Fed economists, but what I'm finding, it's kind of shitty. He's throwing himself under the bus, kind of.
Well, I think he has to. I mean, he can't say, I speak for the entirety of the Fed.
Yeah. Though the authors of the study aren't opposed to Fed interest rate hikes.
Yeah, that's what I was just saying.
So, they caution against using rate hikes in rapid succession, as the Fed is currently doing, due to the delay it takes the economic effects of rate hikes to register.
Right. So what you're talking about, where they're just going to keep hiking?
Yeah.
Even as things start to cool?
Yeah.
That's when they can just really fuck us and throw us into a tailspin.
Yeah, because they, in December of 1919 is when they first started really hiking them, and it wouldn't be until the recession started in 1920 and lasted until 1921.
And then everything was fine till then.
Yeah, nothing happened.
Everything great.
1929, nothing happened. Everything was
nothing
good.
Nothing I can think of.
Up until a couple of years ago.
Everything was great.
Yeah, nothing in the 40s. Late 30s, you know.
But yeah, it's interesting because everyone points to this historical precedent of the 1980s, and it's interesting to see one of these.
And it goes back to my
What was that?
I was just pulling out hair because I haven't washed my hair in a few days, and when I do that, I shed a little bit.
Yeah, but you kind of looked at your
fingers. Well, because I was seeing how much hair was in my fingers, my fingers. Because my hair is so fucking thick, I'm just shed constantly. But that's one of the annoying things about this inflation thing, because it's been put solely in the lap of the Fed to fix it when they don't have the tools. They only have so many tools. It's like going up to a car with a screwdriver and a wrench and trying to fix an oil leak.
You give me a screwdriver and a wrench, I'll fix anything on
a car. Duct tape. Don't they say, what, if you can't fix it with duct tape and WD-40, you're not
a
man?
Who says that? Who's saying
that? I don't
know.
Fucking...
Jay Powell probably says that shit.
Yeah.
Jay Powell is so excited to do 100 basis points. At this point, I'm like, just fucking do
mouth.
It.
Yeah.
You poxy bitch.
You know who...
If I see you on the street, Jay Powell, you're fucking dead, pal.
Poxy?
Yeah.
Poxy? What's a poxy bitch?
Poxy is like an adjective. It's like...
Yeah, but what is someone who's poxy?
Like cowardly. Or,
I've never heard that.
Google poxy.
I believe you.
Well, I want to give the listener...
How do you spell it? P-O-X-Y?
Yeah.
Oh, peak. Mm. Epoxy definition. No, that's epoxy. Epoxy is the adhesive. Having little value. Cool.
Not important.
You know who chimed in on inflation was Cardi B. None other than Cardi B.
How'd she feel? She's pro or
we want to get her, we want to get her on the show. By the way,
is she pro or anti-inflation?
She is anti-inflation. But guys, if you want us to go, if you have any ideas for what shows we should go on.
No, what?
So let us know so we can go try to weasel our way onto other shows. Speaking of which, so here's Cardi B talking about inflation a little bit.
Whoa, this is 5 minutes?
Nah, we're not going to listen to the whole thing.
I've been helping so many people for so many years. I never have helped out so many people for the past 7-8 months. And I remember something, right? Let me tell you something. A couple of months ago, I was helping a cousin get an apartment, right?
It's kind of excessive.
And now I'm helping somebody else get an apartment. Bro, I was looking at some areas, the way that the prices soar up, the way that the prices soar up, because I'm guessing that no motherfucking inventory when it comes to homes they're selling right now. Nobody's even trying to sell their fucking homes. So everybody's like, yo, when the interest rate is good, that is high, that's great, because people have to fucking sell their home for less. So you could buy a home for less. And it's like, bitch, it doesn't matter if the interest rate is motherfucking high as fuck. And okay. Actually, bitch, there's not even inventory. That's one. But that's another. That's another.
That's true.
Now, let's talk about the fact that the fucking rent.
The rent?
I was talking about buying a house. Now I'm going back to rent. Like, how are people surviving? I want to know.
I want to know, too.
My family and my friends, they're so grateful to have me.
Yeah, I bet.
But it's just like, yo, what happened to people that don't have a me?
Yeah, what happened to people that don't have a Cardi B?
I don't have a you, Cardi.
That don't have a me. I just read some shit that like
love to get your number.
Britain and LA, they're gonna start having more blackouts because Britain gotta pay double the price when it comes to electricity.
That's true, dude.
How long are we gonna watch this,
Cardi B?
Coming at me every single time that we're saying that something bad in the economy is happening.
I just like listening to
her talk. And people
be
like, well, you was the one that told people to vote for Joe Biden. But this is the thing, right? After the pandemic, I knew that this shit was going to happen. I knew we was going to have a financial crisis. And the thing about
it is
that
she knew we were
going to
have a financial crisis. Why didn't you let us know?
It's all over the world.
You
should have
said that.
Like, I went to the Dominican Republic.
I don't cook.
All right, can we turn it off?
We're going to have bad inflation. Like, you should have tossed that in fucking WAP, man. What were you doing?
She was too busy.
Too busy WAPing.
Pissing Ben Shapiro off with her wet ass pussy. Yeah. Ben Shapiro is. Can you find his tweet about the railroad workers?
What did he have to say?
Oh.
What the fuck did he have to say?
You'll see.
Oh, God.
Is
it going to be some kind of gender joke? Oh, what are they waiting for the trains to pick their gender?
No, it's just, so these right-wing guys always... The alt-right, like, it always positions itself as they are looking out for the little man and, like, the big... everyone is trying to screw you except for us. So he says, I guess he's commenting on the tentative deal. Yeah. The entire Democratic Union strategy is, number one, the unions spend billions to get Democrats elected. Number two, unions threaten to strike in advance of an election. He's talking about the midterms. Three, Democrats force through an absolute sweetheart deal for unions, declare victory. And there's an asterisk there. And he says the asterisk is you pay for it. I love how also he's talking about an absolute sweetheart deal, which is maybe being able to go to the doctor.
Yeah, and not get paid for it, but just not get penalized.
Oh, yeah. This is unpaid leave.
Yeah.
But
suck my dick.
You can go to the doctor and we won't penalize you.
Yeah. Suck my dick, Ben Shapiro. You fucking, you little shit, you little worm. These guys are all such worms because they are very anti-corporations in almost every aspect of everything. But they're not really. But then they're not. Yeah, right. Then they're like, oh, what? You can't just let corporations run amok and do their thing? What, that's the free market economy. But also, at the same time, corporations are evil and they control everything. Make up your fucking mind.
Right. I mean, this is a perfect opportunity to talk about, you know, corporate power in the railroad industry. I mean, it's all been consolidated into, like, four major companies.
Yeah.
You know, they've slowly financialized the whole thing, turning it into, you know, longer and longer. The precision scheduled railroading thing, it's like, you know, this just-in-time shipping bullshit where it's like everything's got to be as quick as possible, cutting the workforce so you're paying less people.
Yeah. These people are so, they don't have an actual point of view. They just have whatever is anti- even just left of center, just whatever they can keep making these kind of talking points to rile up their base, because without them they don't have any viewers or listeners or people.
I don't get how this.
Yeah, no, that's totally what happens every time. The unions always get Democrats elected, then unions always threaten to strike in advance of an election. I'd like to see the data on this,
but
I mean, I'm sure that there's plenty of data to back this up.
I just can't imagine his, you know, base of his audience is like, yeah, fuck them. Like, well, that's the thing. He's telling them you're paying for it somehow. You are paying for it. And the thing is, we always are paying for this shit. Cause like when you're talking about disruptions, this is stuff we were talking about with David Day. And like,
yeah.
This stuff already happens. They're spending all their money on fucking stock buybacks rather than track maintenance, rather than, you know, having more people on the crews. So, sure. You know, when something goes wrong, it's not a huge delay. You're already going to see these things no matter what. You know, we are paying for it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting that it is never, ever, ever the fault of companies and corporations. It is always the Democrat unions, the greedy unions.
Fat cat unions.
The fat cat unions, the fat cat teachers and shit that just want.
Oh, I love when they do that. The greedy teachers unions.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. Oh my God. Yeah, these people.
How much longer will we bend the knee to the teachers?
Ben Shapiro's yarmulke that he always wears must be controlled by some kind of parasite that's plugged into his brain and is just in there just controlling everything.
How much longer will we allow these greedy teachers?
They would have
their grubby little hands.
If we went back to like the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory fire, they would find a way to blame it on workers. So now this poor company is going to lose out on like 5% margins. 5% more of their margins are going to get eaten into because because there was an accident? What? Because they locked the doors of
right.
the...
If these employees were a bit more obedient, they wouldn't have to lock the doors.
Yeah, maybe if they didn't need as much sleep to do the job, whatever the fuck happened, I don't remember. What happened? They locked the doors in the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory?
And then there was a fire.
Yeah.
And they couldn't get out.
Man. What the fuck is a shirtwaist?
Oh, come on, man. You don't know a shirtwaist?
No.
I don't either. What the fuck?
Is it like a man blouse?
I don't know.
A blouse is just a shirt. Can we stop calling it that? Get the fuck out of here.
But
all
it's
right.
different.
Yeah, you're right. It is. It's more flowy.
When was the last time you wore a suit?
I don't remember, but I got to get one for a wedding I'm going too. To in November. Fuck. God damn it. All right. What else do we have on the docket? We got a couple other things here.
Oh, we got a lot of shit.
Oh, man. So did you see the news just came out today? Adobe bought Figma. For just, it said $20 billion, but
who's
then I
Figma?
See, every time I see it, I think it's a Ligma joke.
Well, that I was getting you.
Yeah.
I was giving it to you, but.
Figma balls.
Figma dick in your ass?
Figma. I don't know, man. But I don't even know what the fuck Figma does, but apparently it was enough to warrant over $18 billion Adobe bought them for. Adobe to acquire, I guess it's $20 billion in cash and stock. It's a design platform.
You couldn't bother to click the link?
Well, it was right as I was going out the door, man.
But you were like, this is so important.
God,
I need to put the link in.
Look at this shit. Figma was first founded just 10 years ago by these guys.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Happy for them.
Thousands of designers and developers at Microsoft rely on Figma every day to build Office, Windows, and more. What the fuck does it do?
Can we talk about Patagonia?
Yeah, what happened with Patagucci? Patagucci.
I'm sure a lot of people have heard, but the founder
mm-hmm.
and former owner and his family are giving away the company.
Are they keeping any? Like, I'm sure that they've been taking
so
money
they are,
out of it and stuff.
They're putting it in a trust to ensure that all of the profits, which I think is they're getting $100 million a year. Is going to go to fight climate change.
Good.
This guy rocks, dude. Did you read the article?
No.
He's like so cool. He's like...
He seems cool.
He was getting pissed that he was showing up on the Forbes list of billionaires.
Ooh.
And he was like, I don't want to fucking be on this. Like, we need to figure out... Like, he's like, I don't want to be a fucking billionaire. I don't want this fucking money.
Yeah.
I guess he lives in Ventura and Jackson, Wyoming.
Wow.
In pretty modest homes. But
two homes? Yeah, real liberal.
Nice.
I'm doing Ben Shapiro or
really
something.
Good.
Yeah.
But I also found this really funny. So he's trying to prove that he's not like a big fancy guy, right? Mm-hmm. And he's like, I was in Forbes magazine listed as a billionaire, which really, really pissed me off. And he goes, I don't have $1 billion in the bank. I don't drive Lexuses. And I love this billionaire that the fanciest car you could think of is a Lexus.
Yeah.
Look, they're nice cars, don't get me wrong.
Yeah. Toyota's luxury model car.
I don't drive Lexuses.
Yeah. I wonder what he does drive. Volvo, probably.
You think?
Yeah, maybe.
Absolute legendary move. They also talk. So one other guy has done something similar.
Oh, that one billionaire guy who gave it all away?
Yeah, but you know what he gave it away for?
What?
He basically did the same thing. He set up trusts for it to all go to causes.
Uh-huh.
But it was to fight like, he doesn't want any action to be taken on climate change.
No. Are you talking about the guy who made it all go away except for $3 million? That guy? Who gave away his entire fortune except for $3 million?
I don't know. But this guy is, he's...
It's offsetting this guy, basically.
Maybe.
Patagonia guy.
I mean, not really, because not taking climate on action change, that side has already been killing
it. You just
it
said
for...
not taking climate on action change.
Did I really?
Yeah, that's fun. You mean not taking action on climate
not
change.
Taking action
on
that side of the argument has been, they've been crushing it. I don't know if you've noticed, but...
Yeah, I don't understand what goes through the brains of the people. Look, even if it were like a question of whether or not it's happening, wouldn't you want to just be on the cautious side? Wouldn't you want to take that, just like, hey, let's err on the side of caution here, because on the one hand, we would destroy the environment, destroy the world, leading to billions of people like being climate refugees and starvation and all this shit. For what? So oil companies can profit more? Like, what do you get out of it?
We
dipshit?
Get
shit.
Not
you
letting
fucking idiot. What are you getting out of it?
Not letting China kick our asses, right? Because if we do it and then China doesn't take all these things into account, they just, you know, they kick our asses economically because we are spending all this money.
Because that's all that matters at the end of the day, right?
Of course.
Folks,
have you not?
Gotta
have you learned,
get the profits.
Have you learned nothing?
God damn.
We pray
fucking
to the
people.
Around here, we pray to the dollar, you fucking hippie.
Yeah. God, it makes me so mad.
But it is funny. The New York Times could not help themselves at the end of the article.
Mm. What did they say?
No, it's just funny that they it doesn't need to be in there at all. It's like this nice story about, you know, it's this guy's choice, whatever.
What, they call him a hippie?
No.
Also,
so
he
they
smells.
Say, some experts caution that without the, and I don't know how to say the name, Chouinard, without the Chouinard family having a financial stake in Patagonia, the company and the related entities could lose their focus. While the children remain on Patagonia's payroll and the elder Chouinards have enough to live comfortably on, the company will no longer be distributing any profits to the family. And then they have a quote here from executive director of the Northeastern University Center for Family Business. What makes capitalism so successful is that there's motivation to succeed. If you take all the financial incentives away, the family will have essentially no more interest in it except a longing for the good old days. And I just love that this guy can't...
Yeah, you can't have that as a motivator.
He can't see someone doing anything outside of a profit motive.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding. Yeah, that's a great mindset to have.
Yeah.
I agree with him.
Do you? If we take these guys' profit incentive away, they'll just sit around on their asses.
Speaking of profit incentives, a couple things I wanted to cover here that I found very, very interesting. I guess we'll do the car thing first. First and foremost, I'm seeing a lot more Tesla, anti-Tesla stuff, like on my TikTok page. There was a guy whose Tesla, he just bought it like a couple weeks ago, and the battery died. And the battery was going to cost like $26,000 to replace. And now he's completely locked out of the car. He can't like open it. He can't do anything with it. And apparently when it rains.
It pours.
Or no, sorry. The condensation or something from the air conditioner. I don't know if this is correct, but he said that it drains onto the battery, which led to the battery dying. But because that occurred. Like, that occurred within the warranty period, but then the death of the battery occurred thereafter, and so he's not covered. So he's just got this lemon of a car that he can't do anything with. And he was saying, do not buy Tesla. Tesla sucks. And then you had the new FSD, the self-driving update come out, and it's just terrible. There's all sorts of people. It's worse.
Now it tries to kill kids.
Yeah. And it's remarkable to me. I wonder when it's going to finally reach the point where people don't want to scramble to buy a Tesla. And it's like, I feel like we might be reaching that point here domestically, but internationally, that's still, the message isn't out there. Like people.
Really? I feel like internationally, they're probably going to have a harder time. They have, like everyone's driving those BMW, what is it, the i3? Or,
oh, yeah.
Sure. And the Volkswagens and, you know, Hyundai's got those. The fucking
Ioniq?
Yeah, the Ioniq.
Those things are cool. They're very cool looking.
Internationally, they have And China, they've got
Lee, Neo, XPEV.
Yeah, there's one more too. But yeah, there's a ton of
options.
But I feel like those we were slower. You know, it feels like GM, Ford, all these American automakers finally just started making that push. Rivian just came out.
They're also heavy as fuck. Dude, they're so heavy.
Have you seen the Hummer?
Yes, the Hummer weighs 9,000 pounds.
We're so fucking stupid.
Oh, yeah.
It's the most American thing. They're like, yeah, fine, we'll do it. But
it's going to be fat as fuck.
It's going to be 11,000 pounds.
It's going to be a BBW car.
It's going to be dangerous.
Yeah.
It's going to fucking, it's going to be horrible to charge. It's not going to hold the charge.
Yeah.
It's psycho.
Well, so GM, I saw this. It kind of like, I don't understand it. So they've got an autonomous driving unit called Cruise. They're developing their own chips for self-driving cars to be deployed by 2025. They're developing their own chips because NVIDIA was their chip supplier, but they were doing so little volume, they weren't able to negotiate a good enough deal with them. So they said, all right, fuck it. We're going to do our own chips. And these chips are going to power their Origin vehicle that has no pedals or steering wheel. So not only are they foisting the EVs on us, but they're also really making it like, no, autonomous vehicles are going to be the thing. Like, okay, cool. I guess that's fucking, that's just, okay. No, no, no. By all means, don't do good infrastructure. Don't do good public transportation. Give us big, heavy steering wheel and gas pedal-less cars.
We're never going to see our dream.
We're never going to see it, man. We're just going to see, I fucking hate this place.
It all could have been so cool.
It all could have been so good and so cool.
It also pisses, people need to stop putting on Twitter. As much as I love it for 1 second, I just get heartbroken because it's never going to happen. But people love taking the rails they've put in China recently.
Oh, yeah.
Comparing it to here. And then comparing it to how long it would take to, say, get to from New York to Chicago.
Yeah.
And it's like,
it's like two days.
If we started doing that, you know, you could get from New York to Chicago without ever stepping foot in an airport in 2.5 hours. And you're like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. It's not going to
happen. I know.
Yeah. Well, first I got to do a feasibility study that would take 5 years and, you know, cost $20 billion.
And then we're going to give the contract to the worst, most offensive private company we've ever encountered.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm just.
And then after 10 years, we're going to find out they never built a single track.
Yeah, no kidding, dude. I fucking hate it here. I hate it here so much.
But we shouldn't be so pessimistic.
Oh, yeah. No, there's so much to be optimistic about.
We can do it.
Yeah, we can. We just have to hope that enough people in Congress die.
Yeah, as long as we let our grandparents stop running the country into the ground.
Great grandparents at this point.
Truly.
Jesus. Well, the last.
Some of them, you know, got to shout out the king because we're talking about the railroads.
Warren Buffett?
No.
Charlie Munger?
Bernie Sanders.
Oh, Bernie Sambo.
The Republicans tried to push through a resolution late yesterday in the afternoon to say that the unions had to adopt the PEB resolution.
Uh-huh.
Bernie Sanders stepped up.
They don't have to adopt any kind of resolution. I can't do it. I should.
That wasn't bad.
Yeah, I used to be able to do it better. But that feels like one of those impressions that everybody can do, so I don't even bother. Hillary Clinton
is a bitch. He should have just went for that because, like,
yeah, honestly, just say it. He'd win if he just said Hillary Clinton. I'm just gonna say it.
She's a rotten bitch.
She's a bitch. There it is. Hillary Clinton is a bitch. She farts constantly. She leaves doo-doo stains in her underwear. And this country would be ashamed to have her as president. Thank you.
But the way the media covered it anyway, it was like he was doing that. So he should have just went for it.
He should have just said it.
He could have just been Trump.
Donald Trump is a bitch.
It actually would have been sick if he just started dunking on everybody.
Yeah, calling him bitch.
Pete Buttigieg.
He's a bitch.
Bitch.
Yeah.
Absolute bitch. Beto O'Rourke. Can't actually skate. He's a bitch.
I've seen him try a kickflip. He can't do it.
Amy Klobuchar.
You know, she's a nice lady.
No, she's
at the end of the day, a bitch.
Hair comb throwing bitch.
hair comb throwing.
Oh man, the
threw a comb.
Yeah, her staffers came out and said she was like the meanest.
Yeah,
and she would throw her combs at people.
Wow. Wait, before we run out of time, there was one bit of news that I wanted to put in earlier in the thing because I feel like it is a fun, interesting thing. Is how Netflix is. So the news came out. We obviously know that they're doing the ad tier, but they are expecting about 40 million people to sign up for the ad tier. I don't know where the fuck they get that figure. But I might be one of them because I'm not paying $18 or whatever for the shit. But yeah, I'll pay $9 to sit through a commercial. I don't give a shit. But so they are also reportedly moving away from the binge model, which is really kind of a big deal to me. And I bought some.
It's a big deal to you?
Yeah. Well, as a trader, because I bought I bought some long dated call options for next October. Because, you know, the stock has just been absolutely fucking decimated and it's come back all the way down, I think, back to its 2020 low. And so I think that they could surprise to the upside because getting rid of the binge model, think about this. We talked about it yesterday on the brainstorm. If say I'm a person who only wants to watch Stranger Things and then...
You're a person who only watches
or to watch Stranger Things. I mean, I did get Netflix to watch some show. I don't even remember what the fuck it was. It might have been Ozark, and I got Netflix for just a couple weeks just to watch all of Ozark, and then I canceled. But if this non-binge, if they were doing it where they release it once a week, I'd be inclined to keep Netflix for longer.
Or just wait till the whole show comes out.
Fuck you, dude. Wow, fuck. See, now that would be smart, but I'm not smart. So I would be like, okay, I guess I got to get Netflix for a couple months. Damn, they got me. Well, here's a new one this week. Okay, cool. I guess I'm watching Netflix today.
I could see you had that whole thing worked out, but didn't even...
See, but if I'm an idiot, and if everybody else is an idiot, which they are, right. I mean, this is the United States of America, this could really help their subscriber numbers and, ergo, their revenues.
People are stupid.
Yeah, people... Not our listeners, though.
Our listeners, arguably...
Our listeners are the smarter ones. The viewers, dumb as rocks.
You think so?
Because they need a visual stimulation to go. Yeah.
Sometimes I will be listening to... Do you watch stuff with subtitles?
Absolutely, all the time. Because I can't hear.
And I'll be listening to a podcast while I'm driving or something, and I'm like, I wish there was somehow subtitles on this podcast. I can't fucking...
See?
can't fucking keep up.
See, I can't... I don't know if it's because our comprehension skills are lacking.
Wait, dude.
Where I'm watching something and I'm like, what they're saying stuff, I get it, but I don't get it.
I got Audible for when I moved to LA because I was like, well, I'll be driving a lot more and I won't be able to read as much. Like I used to read on the subway all the time.
Yeah.
So maybe now I'll read books by listening to them.
Impossible.
I did it for one book.
Yeah.
And I was like, I have no idea what was that book about?
Yeah.
You just are driving and you like space out. Like, I guess that was like 30 pages, but I don't.
What gets me is I start to hone in on the speaker's audio or whatever you call the, dude, see, this is what happens when I don't have breakfast before I come. Because sometimes I'm like, if I have breakfast, I'm going to crash and I'm going to be tired. But if I don't, I'm going to be all wired. But then my vocabulary is lacking. I can't think of the word.
What's going on in this like fickle little system you have? You're
maybe I have stomach bacteria.
You constantly are texting me like I've took this out of my diet and it makes my brain go a little. And it's like,
something's wrong. I need to see a nutritionist.
What was the point you were trying to make?
I was trying to make the point that I pick up on their nuances, their verbal cadences.
Oh no, you don't say.
Yeah, and it drives me nuts. And I'm like, oh, this person says. They speak a certain way, and yeah, I listened to this one finance audiobook, and this guy, it was impossible to listen to. I listened to the whole thing, but then...
It's like you with me.
You're not that bad. You just say a lot.
And
the same way every time. That's what gets
it's me. Just me thinking. It's just the wheels are turning. I like to
think
before I say something.
Wait, scroll up just a little bit, please.
I got nothing. What am I scrolling?
No, the up here. Oh, I just thought it was interesting, the Tim Apple... Who, you know, we talked about the green bubbles, the green text bubbles, and some Android loving.
Oh yeah, yeah. He tried to push him on the whole, you know, join in and let Androids have the nice texting.
And Tim Apple said, "Oh, why don't you just buy your mom an iPhone then?"
Yeah. You don't want
put
the green
a thousand
bubbles
songs in her pocket.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want the green bubbles? Do that. Wait, and then one more thing that I thought was funny. I saw that I know, we got to go to after hours. I know, you're making it bigger. I see. But I wanted to say, I just thought it was funny.
This is not going to be good.
I said that for the last three things. I just thought it was funny that Meta's stock is back to the 2020 lows. You know, when COVID and everything dropped, it's back down to those lows. It gave it all
that's
back,
why,
baby.
That's why he's been doing those fucking Muay Thai videos.
Yeah.
So when his workers try to overthrow him and...
He's ready to fight.
Bang his head against the fucking ground.
Yeah. And I guess there was an internal thing.
That would be cool. I'm going to try to get a job at Meta and be like, come on, let's all kill him.
Let's all kill him.
I'll be working in,
he's
in
probably
the offices.
Got bodyguards. Do you think he's got bodyguards with him all
come
the
time? Come on. He's up there. Sure.
He can't stop 20 of us.
I saw the kickboxing video too, but there's so many of us.
Also, he's a dork. He's practicing.
Remember
when it comes
sweet,
to the real thing?
Remember the Sweet Baby Ray's bullshit?
Yeah.
Let's kill this motherfucker.
Let's just kill him. But I saw that, yeah, of course he's got a bunch of bodyguards. But
oh,
they,
shit.
Yeah.
What a douche.
Zucker corn. But so they apparently, they're struggling to keep up with TikTok, which is funny because, yeah, the Reels thing. It, you know why? Because you got too many things. You got Reels and you got the other, what's the other thing?
Pictures.
No, it's like
stories.
Reels. No, not stories. There's Reels and video and some other thing, and they're all it's confusing. It's confusing, man. Just
well, did you see they've been testing
groups?
No, basically a Be Real adjacent thing where it's got the front facing and the back facing camera.
Yeah. I don't know.
All right, before we get killed, we are gonna go to
After Hours.
If you would like to see us there, you just sign up. Oh, I wanted to say something at the top.
About what?
We always say like, comment, subscribe, blah, blah. But if you could give us a 5-star rating on Spotify,
yeah,
and on all the audio platforms.
Also, you know, share the podcast with one person every week. Hey, I think you'd really like this podcast. Please.
But yeah, those help. So, you know, we're still new podcast in the grand scheme of all these things.
Yeah.
Like, comment, do all the algorithmic things.
Like me, comment me, finger me, tickle me, cuddle me, love me, kiss me, hug me.
Squeeze me.
Squeeze me. Hold me. Fuck me.
Fuck me.
Goodbye.
Bye.
This week on After Hours.
I don't eat meat. This guy's a bitch.
Oh my god, I'm gonna die of a heart attack and then a bear's gonna chew off my dick.
I didn't know you weren't supposed to push when you shit.
Sign up on tmgstudios.tv to watch the full bonus episode.